Welcome to the Certainty Advice Podcast, where everything we do starts with an alignment to Australia's first accredited standard of conflict-free advice, which ensures we are truly focused on helping you achieve more in your financial life. And now, here's your host, founder of the Certainty Advice Group, Jim Stackpool.
G'day everybody, Jim Stackpool from Certainty Advice Group with another podcast in our Certainty series, where we aim to help as many Australians as possible access advice that's truly valuable for them, regardless of product or effort put in. It's about value, and obviously without any form of bias, which is our standard, the Certainty Advice way. So our Certainty Advisors from all over Australia follow the nation's first standard of advice that guarantees there'll be no conflict in any way, shape or form. It's double-checked against our standards, so you can expect to get a similar level of professionalism regardless of being in Manly, Melbourne, or Mayfield, anywhere in the world. So our topic today is 3 years on, 3 years since the announcement of the Royal Commission into banking and financial services. And you might be wondering what all the excitement is about, where even just last week, yet another one of the old majors, MLC, which was part of the National Australia Bank Group, MLC's wealth division was sold off, or seems to be sold off, pending agreement to another big wealth group, IOOF, which is now praising the purchase as their chance now to take great advice to 2 million Australians that are going to be under their care. What has changed? And so who have been the winners and losers from these 76 recommendations that were handed down a little under 3 years ago now, aimed at addressing what was essentially at the time labelled as just pure greed, the pursuit of profit and market share at the expense of serving the greater good of Australians I'm meant to be serving. So I'm lucky today to have Neil Watson. Neil is principal with the Planning Room on the Village End of Miller Street, Cameray in Sydney. Neil and his partner, Stuart Copeland, the Planning Room there, they specialise in busy couples and also I think medical specialists. They've got quite a renown with them. Who is seeking the local experts, you're not going to the city, but they're seeking out Neil and Stuart, who themselves are living similar lives to most of their clients in those feeder suburbs close to the city, the parks and the waterways of that part of northern Sydney. Key things to listen out to as you're listening to Neil, what are those systemic failures that anyone seeking advice needs to be aware of before going into the advice world? And listen to why Neil believes there is no winners, in fact, from this $70 million Royal Commission that took place 3 years ago. And also listen to who Neil thinks are the rats jumping off the ships. But I started by asking Neil, well, what have been the benefits for Australians now 3 years on?
I think at the end of the, when the Royal Commission was announced, I think everybody in the industry was kind of thinking, oh, it's about time. I think that a lot of Australians were looking for heads on spikes, and that kind of didn't happen. I think they were perhaps looking for more accountability being held by some of the financial institutions that had clearly had, I guess, systematic failures inside them. And I don't think that the heads on spikes didn't occur much to the, I think, annoyance of some Australians.
And so systematic failings, what do you mean now?
When I talk about systematic failings, I think that things which have been insidious inside an institution for many, many years and they've been allowed to grow, I think as a lot of advisors that you would have spoken to in particular when the Royal Commission was announced, the ones who were thinking it's about time, were clearly looking at the vertical integration models and realizing that that's kind of, it's not good for anybody. And at the end of the Royal Commission, however many millions of dollars that cost to put together, apparently it was okay, and that's not what the problem was. We as advisors were looking, thinking, gee, how have we got this so wrong? The regulators have kind of, I don't want to say head in the sand, but perhaps had their head in the sand, letting the larger institutions get away with selling products and rewarding people for selling their products. And as soon as that conflict of interest is there, where somebody is remunerated higher for selling a product, it's always going to be flawed.
Do you see that, or do you believe it might be still too early to see the benefits from, do you think they may still come, the benefits from the Royal Commission?
I believe that there will be benefits in the longer term. And I think that the one of the benefits will be that some of the people who perhaps were product-focused and product salespeople may be weeded out from the profession. And I think that one of the downsides is that the affordability of advice is actually increased quite dramatically, the cost to deliver advice, and therefore the affordability for many Australians. I think the ones who can ill afford to, the ones who need advice can now perhaps not necessarily afford the advice that's going to be so valuable to them.
So the banks have exited most of their advice distribution channels, probably only to you put it into reverse and then come full forward in a more of a fintech direct to the consumer model, potentially continue the calling of advice from product. There's been a lot of regulatory change, though, as you only too well know, and whilst we don't have a policing body yet, do you think the FASEA change that's been, when it was implemented, but even before the Royal Commission, do you think that will continue to weed out bad practices, whether the proposition is delivered by an advisor or by these new fintech propositions?
I believe that the reason to put the education standard higher, I think it's got the best of intentions. And I think that what everyone seems to be missing is at the end of the day, what does the consumer want? And so I had a conversation today with one of my colleagues, and I said to her, when you go to a doctor, essentially you want them to treat the problem that you're going in for. And whether that's I have this skin rash, you don't necessarily need them to analyze the skin rash and come up with the 15 options and give you the 12 different creams that are available to them as a medical professional. You want them to say, okay, well, that's a so-and-so skin rash. This is going to cure it for you. It's similar with a financial service. If somebody comes in to see a financial planner, quite often they've got a specific set of needs that they feel that they need addressing. And there will be certain financial planning practices that would be fabulously positioned to address those needs. But the process that they're now forced to go through just makes it almost impossible to provide a cost-effective answer to what can be, as advisors, a fairly simple problem.
So the banks, do they see that the fintech proposition will be able to reduce the cost and broaden the delivery of good advice to more Australians?
I don't see the banks and other financial institutions as in the position to be delivering better advice. I see them still with the ability to sell their own product, similar to going into a Toyota dealer. You will drive away in a Toyota car. I would see that you would go onto the ABC Bank website and you will pump in your details, and at the end you will be spat out an ABC Bank product, which is the answer to the series of questions what you've been asked along the way.
So Neil, who are the winners from the Royal Commission so far?
I cannot see anybody who's a winner, Jim. I look and I think the cost to deliver advice has increased. Therefore, the affordability for the Australians is now getting out of reach of many. I see that the banks were able to exit pretty quickly. And that to me is a big sign that they saw all of these issues happening and all of these problems on the horizon. And they were like rats off a sinking ship. They got out very, very quickly and they will have an alternative product-based solution. Once the dust settles, they will enter back in with a whole series of products which will be direct and will be pumped to us via our own net banking and things.
Okay. And so are you surprised, now 3 years down from when the Royal Commission was announced, are you surprised by where we are today?
I think I'd say I'm disappointed but not surprised. I feel that it was something that needed to happen. And as I say, many, many advisors in the industry would have spoken at length about the vertical integration model, which is simply somebody who's a product provider, produces a product and then distributes it through their own channels. So the whole straight down processing, it was flawed and it will be flawed into the future.
Mm. And so what has to happen the next 3 years? So if we're talking, say, September 2023, what has to happen for more Australians to get access to valuable advice?
Well, that's an excellent question, Jim. I think what Australians do find valuable, and you know that all boils down to the individual. You know, in our practice at the Planning Room, we believe that it's not necessarily the products which are available are simply tools. We are a holistic practice, and we feel that what we provide our clients, it's not for everybody. But the clients that we look after inside our practice, we look at them holistically. We feel that we provide the value based on what they need. So drilling down a bit deeper into what their needs are.
Okay, so this next to get closer and closer to valuable advice, we have to have this means to methodically drill down into what is valuable for every different client. But Neil, tell me what's been the effect of COVID? The advisors have been under increased regulatory change. The banks have exited, and this significant event, COVID, has affected everybody's situations and circumstances. What do you see needed now as a consequence for your clients on COVID?
For our clients, I think it's really pointed out that there are a lot of things which are totally beyond your control that can come from left field and have such a massive, massive impact on your overall planning moving forward. Because if you'd have said 1 year ago the way Melbourne, Victoria would be on total lockdown and other parts of the world, it's something which was totally beyond the pale. Nobody could have envisaged anything like this. And so I think it's really made a whole heap of our clients realize that things can occur which you're just not ready for. And, you know, from an investment perspective, there's going to be some sectors that will pop out the other side of this shining and happy, you know, the online and the Amazons and the Googles of this world, and Netflix are doing fantastically well. But there's perhaps some other industries which may never recover. Some of the travel industries and some of the airlines and things like that. Things have changed, and I think they've changed forever.
Mm. And so, anyone listening to this now who's seeking advice or knows someone important to them that be seeking advice, whether it's due to COVID or whether it's simply due to the transition that they're already going through prior COVID in their own lives or issues they're facing, what's your biggest piece of advice to them?
I think it's about getting a relationship with someone that you trust, someone that you can feel you can work with, because there's advice and there's product order takers, if you like. So when there's one style of advisor who will, you know, we were all worried about the salesman who was going to try and sell us some insurance or try to fit us into their superannuation product, where now, you know, the industry's moved massively away from that, and now what they try to sell you is their statements of advice. And so I think it's about getting a relationship with someone who's going to sit down, listen to what your aspirations are, and provide you a path to gives you the greatest probability of meeting what's important to you.
Mm. So holistic, listening, all those classic. But I imagine, really, most advisors all got into the industry for that reason.
Indeed.
And in some ways, I guess it goes back to your original comments about just the systemic failures of the industry to be structured in such a way that's not so aligned to the product.
I agree 100%, Jim. I've been in the industry for 25 years, and I can't remember ever speaking to an advisor who got in the industry for a reason other than to help people.
Mm. Interesting times ahead. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you so much, Jim. Cheers.
Well, what's your take from that? Neil Watson from the Planning Room here in Cammeray, Sydney. Three things for me. Affordability. You could hear it in Neil's speech how impassioned he is about this affordability issue as a consequence of Royal Commission, maybe not so, but maybe the compliance industry that's been built on the back of the Royal Commission with more paperwork, more compliance, and more expensive, making the advice more expensive to deliver. That makes it hard then for the second point, which Neil was making, this understanding of value. Value is not a product. Value is not effort. Value is something that's only tangible to the client. And for what is of value to you? What are the worries you would need to minimise? What are the achievements you hope to achieve in your financial life that may require money or advice? And obviously COVID, the third takeaway from Neil's, is that whilst that's obviously a huge once-in-a-lifetime, we hope, circumstance that changes how our outlooks or the outlooks of those very special to us, it's typical of some of the smaller things that may happen on a more personalised basis that are never expected but still need to have a plan around. So there you have it, Neil Watson, partner Stuart Copeland, building great valuable paths for their clients, overcoming the issues and helping them achieve those outcomes that are important to them with their advice and planning in Cammeray here in Sydney. Love to get your feedback, but I think as Neil has told us, never ever mistake product or effort for valuable advice. Thanks for listening. Love to get that feedback. Jim Stackpole signing out. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Advice Podcast with Jim Stackpole. To access the materials from today's show or to join in the conversation, head on over to certaintyadvicegroup.com. Please let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback. certaintyadvicegroup.com.